Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Big Show. I'm your host, Jeff Gamet. And wow, it's a very special episode because it's the first one for the year for me.
For you.
Yeah, I kind of had a crazy busy week last week and wasn't able to do any shows.
You didn't just have a crazy busy week. You had a birthday week and a big birthday week.
It was a birthday week that went all week long.
Yeah, as it should be.
It was kind of epic.
Yeah.
And and it also involved Dave Ginsberg, who everyone knows from In Touch with iOS and the Mac Show, flew out from Chicago to celebrate my birthday. And another friend flew in from California. And it was kind of a crazy epic week.
It was.
I wasn't able to do shows.
It was. I don't know if you heard the happy birthday wishes last week on the show.
I did not. I haven't even had a chance to
we did not sing.
Check out the show yet.
We almost did, but we did not sing.
You know, either way, I'm sure it was epic.
It not as epic as your week, but it was nice.
Well, it fits in nicely with everything else. And so I'm going to go back and check that out. Yeah. Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I mean, back to work this week. I had like, you know, time off 3 weeks over Christmas and New Year's, I really needed.
Sure.
So yeah, went to Portugal and went flying once, I think, last week. Weather was otherwise pretty shitty. And I don't know what else. I mean, New Year's Eve party here, which like with a beautiful view, it was freaking cold, but it was beautiful. I had some friends over and yeah, just hanging out and reorganizing my office and my streaming setup and all of that. So been busy, and then as I said, back to work on Monday. It's been already a busy week, and I'm so thankful tomorrow's Friday. I'm like, I need a weekend.
Yeah. I can appreciate that.
Yeah. Already, and it's only been not even 4 work days. Yeah, 4 work days has been. Not even a week. It's crazy. But I'm also planning out the year. It's like, okay, like, you know, what you do in January, you start thinking ahead a little bit. You're like, okay, what's next? What's gonna, like, what do I need to prepare? Any travels and whatever. So, yeah, it's budgets. Final, say first things, kind of like the budget is approved, but it's like, okay, I don't know, open the positions, hire people, all of that.
Yeah.
I'm hiring. If someone is interested, like, I have a couple developer positions, QA, DevOps, shit like that.
I was listening to everything on the list, waiting for one that's right for me.
If you want to move to Europe, we'll find you something, Jeff. That's like I'll make a position. Not a problem.
You know, considering the state of
of the state,
the United States right now, of the state, it is very tempting to leave. If it wasn't for the responsibilities that I have for my parents, a couple other people.
Pack them in your bag, take them with you. Right, you know, there's better healthcare here anyway, so.
There's healthcare where you are.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Anyhow. How are you doing? I mean, after that epic week.
I feel like I'm still trying to catch up on sleep.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I'm not complaining because all the sleep that I lost was because it was just an epic week.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah. Funny enough, 3 weeks of vacation and I didn't sleep a lot. Like my sleep was kind of all over the place. Kind of elusive. You know,
I get it. When I'm on vacation, on the rare times in the United States, people have to go on vacation.
once every blue moon when you have a vacation.
Right. Typically, I do so much during that vacation that by the time I get back, I need to have a vacation to recover from the vacation.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. No, it was also kind of like those things where you're like, you can't sleep, or you're like whatever, go to bed really late on any of that. So I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. But it sounds like you had a great birthday week with a lot of great people.
I did. It was a lot of fun, and I'm going to be able to stretch out the happy memories of that birthday even longer. Because I still have a little bit of cake left
from
the birthday party.
Nice.
So it's in the freezer.
Uh-huh.
So that, and like individually wrapped pieces before
putting
in the freezer.
Yeah.
So that I can pull out a piece and thaw a piece and enjoy more birthday cake. And it was amazing cake.
Yeah. So whenever you feel down, whenever you're like something's happening, you're like, oh, it was like not a good day. Pull out a piece of cake and just think of the good times.
That's right. A good piece of cake can make everything feel so much better.
That is literally true. And everybody should have a good piece of cake in the freezer. I do too. I have a couple.
You know, emergency cake.
Emergency, literally. There's, in your freezer, there should be emergency ice cream and whatever flavor you prefer, non-dairy or dairy, like it doesn't matter. Just ice cream of some sort. Sorbet, whatever you love, and definitely also emergency cake. Don't eat anything. Well, maybe some emergency, like ice as well, like you know, for drink cocktails or drink of some sort. Yeah,
right.
That's every freezer should have that.
Yes, and if you have access to frozen tater tots, have some emergency tater tots in the freezer.
Oh, that is good. Yeah, I don't have that. I don't have. Tater tots are not the thing here. I mean, I have potatoes and I can make tater tots at any point. So maybe that's my emergency tater tots.
That works too. Tater tots surprisingly aren't a big thing here in Colorado either.
Interesting.
Like Midwest and East Coast, definitely. But out here, they're hard to find. And when I can find frozen tater tots in a grocery store, I buy a bag because it's like they'll be there and then they're just gone.
Yeah. But here's a secret. Just go buy potatoes, make your own potato tots, and then freeze them. And then you have emergency potato tots for whenever you need them. Or next time you make some, just make more.
You know, what I need is a good recipe for tater tots.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is I've looked up recipes and all of them are like ridiculously complicated.
Dude.
And they shouldn't be.
They shouldn't be. No, they really shouldn't be.
So, all right, everyone, homework. Find me a good tater tot recipe that isn't ridiculously complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll look at mine and see how complicated it is. But I don't remember it being that complicated.
Well, maybe this is an opportunity to record a new episode of Foodie Flashback.
It could be, yeah. I'm actually thinking about that, so. If someone's interested in getting interviewed and talking about tater tots, just let me know.
Yeah, the tater tot special.
The tater tot special, yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
All right, I guess we should probably do a show while we're here.
Yeah.
And I see how it is. I miss a week, so no one else shows up this week. Fine. Whatever, people.
Yeah, no, everybody else is on vacation, actually. Like
right.
or work, I think. I mean, Ian is actually in Vegas, and I think it's a work thing, as far as I remember, at least. And Tom is definitely on vacation. He's actually like on Hawaii somewhere. I think Maui, something like that.
Yeah.
So hi, Tom.
Tom.
Yeah.
And Ian, you were so close to me, and I can almost guarantee that Ian flew over me on his way to. Vegas because of the flight paths.
Probably not.
Maybe
actually probably not. They usually come over, go for Canada down, so probably not.
Oh, okay. I was assuming East Coast layover.
No. But, as far as I know, not.
But if he did a direct flight, then he wouldn't have come.
Yeah, but I mean if he did an East Coast layover, that's right. Yeah, we should ask him when he's back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, before we go any farther,
mm-hmm.
I need to do special shout outs.
Oh, okay.
To Muller, Crikey Trousers, and to you, Patrice.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the surprises for my birthday was a video where people are telling about how they met me.
Mm-hmm.
And
just crazy memory. Crazy memories.
Yes, crazy memories of me.
Yeah.
And I will say every one of the videos that people shared, they are all absolutely true.
Every single one of them. Even the one where you went to another planet and then like got your head stuck in a blender thing and kind of spoke an alien language and all of that. Okay.
Especially
good to know.
Especially that one.
Okay.
Yes. But anyhow, thank you for the videos. They were absolutely wonderful. And
we should thank Angela for that one because that was all her idea.
Yes. Angela came up with the idea and it was absolutely fantastic.
It was a fantastic idea. It was a lot of fun to record as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is the first, let's say, regular-ish show of the year because we did we did our predictions last year. Tom is still king. So for second year in a row, he's still king.
I'm assuming with my predictions, I came out as the court jester.
And you didn't have any. You were not there. You missed the show last year for some reason. Probably family thing.
Show 2 years in. Oh,
yes.
I did.
Yeah, that's family right. thing.
I remember
probably.
Now.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
you
when
missed
I was.
It.
I was deep in the middle of having to do family care.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Tom.
So I missed the prediction 2 years in a row.
You did. Yeah, and Tom got, depending on how you see it, either one or two of them correctly. So I got nothing.
Way,
I got nothing, and we were the only two who predicted anything. So yeah, pretty solid on my end, pretty solid bad year.
Okay, so then that makes him the king and you the queen.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's roll with it.
Yeah, so we're doing the first regular show today. We have actually news to talk about.
We do. Tell me the news we have to talk about.
There's so much.
Grab a couple stories just in case.
I have so many, and I probably could have picked more. The first one I want to talk about is it's a tech story, but it's also slightly a political story or ish. Mm-hmm. It's about Iran. Because Iran, if you haven't heard, there's protests going on and people dying, and it's pretty terrible so far. But the big thing that Iran has been doing is they shut down basically the internet and phone service. So, in the entire country. So, no information going in or out in any direction right now. And it's like, I know I have some friends that have family there, and that's been terrible. But for me, the interesting thing about this story was like, that is pretty crazy and it's a pretty drastic step. Iran has been isolating like China and Russia and a couple other countries anyway, a little bit from the world, and like not letting certain things through. And VPNs were kind of, let's say, iffy, at least legally, suspicious maybe. Stuff like that, but there were some censorship definitely, but like it's been a bit of crazy thing like that to shut down your entire internet, because it's also like there's a lot of economic things that are connected to it, right? Think about it, like, and that's why I wanted to bring that story. Like, it's pretty crazy to think about, like, what would happen if the US or Austria or whatever, Europe, anybody has decided to just shut down the internet for undetermined amount of time.
Yeah. Like, it would be devastating.
Yeah. Can't order an Uber, can't order food, can't do, like, just think about all the stuff we rely on. We couldn't do streaming shows like this and any of that.
Right. Can't do any banking.
True. Yeah. No banking. Yeah. No video streams, Netflix, any of that. Entertainment would mostly stop.
Yeah, healthcare becomes extremely difficult because most of the records are stored on servers where your medical provider isn't.
It depends. a lot of times these days, actually, they still have emergency procedures for that, because they have to to still work when there's nothing, like no internet, no power, no nothing. It still has to work.
That so, actually makes sense.
Yeah, they have emergency systems.
Showing how stupid I can be at times.
Yeah, no, it's something a lot of people don't know about and didn't think about. Like hospitals have emergency hospital systems. So like basically when they have laptops and when there's nothing else, nor internet, power, like they have batteries, they will work for a while. Mm-hmm. They have all the records, or at least some somewhat up-to-date records of active patients and whatever, and they can still operate.
So, I mean, that's good, but point is ultimately that there's a lot that becomes impossible or extremely difficult if you lose your internet and cell phone service.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's all, I mean, aside from it being devastating for the people, right? Like you don't know if your friends are fine. Like you don't know what's going on. Like all the, it's like, how do we share information these days? Like there's no newspaper that gets distributed, or barely. A couple, I think, still exist, but even those newspapers get their information over the internet these days. So there's no reporter that travels around and collects stories and then like prints them on a printing press and all of that. Like all of that is reliant on the internet.
Yep, it is. And and a lot of times newspapers, when they're doing the actual printing part, build on what you were just saying.
Yeah, they even sent that gets sent over the internet, right? The printer is somewhere else, right?
Right, but, and is oftentimes in multiple locations.
Ah, that's true, yeah.
So then, yeah, how do you get all of the news layout where it needs to? You can't.
Yeah, as I said. I mean, maybe in a situation like that, that's the least thing you think about. But on the other hand, information is key. And like, it doesn't mean that there's no information exchange. I mean, people will probably start printing out things on their home printers and stuff like that. Like,
well, and I suppose newspapers, to a degree, could still get their distributed printing happening and just be slower. You just load that issue on removable media and have someone drive.
Hope you still have one for that, yeah.
Hope you still have one.
It's like, oh, who has the USB stick? Who has one? Or does anybody have like one of those like little drives? We can just throw something in like...
and someone in the back of the room says, I still have a zip drive.
Yeah, there's some neckbeard somewhere that no one even notices, like still working there. And he's like, he opens like his desk and is like, oh, I, what do you need? Like, I have a zip drive. I have a 3.5-inch drive, 2.5. I have like, what do you need? Floppy disks, not a problem. I have these.
What do you need?
Yeah. Yeah, as I said, it's just really, really interesting, like, to think about that. And like, could this happen? I mean, there's been some that's, you know, that's always the risk. Like, technically any government could kind of do that, right? If they wanted to.
Yes. And Iran isn't the only government that has done this.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of governments that have done that, but I'm also thinking, like, I mean, I think any government, if they wanted to, could probably shut down their internet some way. Like, it might not be as easy as it is other places where it's more like, dictatorships or centralized, where it's like, okay, if they already have a lot of control, but I'm pretty sure if Germany were to order the big ISP is to shut down the internet, that would happen.
Yeah, that would happen.
Yeah, I would assume so. Like, who knows? I mean, maybe not. Maybe they're like, nope, can't do that. There's no procedure. There's no law for that, or there's no... We don't have a procedure for that, so can't do that. It's not allowed. It's Germany, so...
Okay, Germany would be like, yeah, not allowed. No procedure.
No procedure for that. Like, we need a law first, and then we need to create a procedure for it, and then we need a certification, and then maybe we can do it.
And we need to, 6 years to later. Do a feasibility study.
Ah, that's true. Yeah. It's like, yeah, and then we really actually don't want to do it. And it's 10 years later.
Right.
Yeah.
When we built our self-contained test internet, we found these issues. One of them being no data goes in or out. So, no, we can't do this.
I can't do this.
You're going to have to come up with a new, we're shutting down the internet plan.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would be Germany. But yeah, but as I said, like technically, I think most if not all countries could do it. But it's still, I think most countries wouldn't. Like that's not how... Hopefully, at least, that's not how our democracies work. Like, freedom of information flow, all of that, freedom of press, freedom of speech, all of that is usually, should be at least, guaranteed.
It should be.
Yeah. I said, reality, other topic. Yeah, but as I said, it's just something to think about. Like, when something like that happens, I mean, like I said, I'm not going to wade into the protests and like all of that, but just the tech side of huge shutdown, huge part of your economy, huge part of your infrastructure, huge part of basically daily life.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's my story.
All right. Well, I brought stories today.
Cool.
And mine fits in with yours in that it is a huge part of a lot of people's lives, and it requires the internet, and it's Wikipedia. It's 25 years old.
Wow.
I believe today is actually...
Wow, happy birthday.
The day. Yeah. So when Wikipedia launched 25 years ago, I believe it was on January 15th.
Yeah, 2000, by the way, which is like 25 years ago is not, somewhere in the 70s, it's like 2000. Just saying.
Yeah. Oh, ouch.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, so when Wikipedia launched, it had 4 pages.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to start somewhere. And it has grown over the years. There's like, I could look at the stats, and yet I'm not. I believe it's 65 million pages now.
Yeah, something like that.
Pretty a lot. And Wikipedia has strived from the beginning and still today to provide unbiased, accurate information. And they have an amazing network of volunteer monitors and editors.
Yeah, that's the crazy part about this. Like, this is all, there's a lot of donations and big companies are donating one way or another, whether it's money or like people's time or whatever, but it is still, that is in itself a pretty big achievement to create something that is so integral to the internet again, like talking about it. Like, we would lose access to all of that knowledge if the internet was disabled, right? Hopefully, maybe you have a backup of that data, but last time I checked, and it was like 2008 or 2009, that was already a massive amount of data, and I can only imagine how it has grown since then.
Yes, and I found the stats. So this is from their from the Wikipedia mini website celebrating their 25th anniversary. Let's see. Today, 25 years later, it has become the backbone of knowledge on the internet, informing everything from day-to-day life and AI chatbots. That's a little dig they actually put in there. To journalism and trivia wins. Nearly 250,000 volunteers write, edit, and fact-check its 65 million articles across more than 300 languages, all guided by standards on neutrality and reliability. And I do remember in the beginning, as Wikipedia was growing, it wasn't always a reliable source, but it was always a useful tool, and at least gave you information where if you're like, I don't know if this is right, you had enough information where you could start digging deeper and verifying whether or not the information in a specific article was right.
Mm-hmm.
But where we stand today, I am much more likely to accept that a Wikipedia article is factual than I was back then, because we have so many years of proof showing that where they are today.
Yeah.
They do have that that factuality. That
I mean, it does not mean every single thing is absolutely 100% true. Like there are mistakes and but they get corrected. Like it's mm-hmm. like there's at least a higher standard in there. Like okay, like also what is accepted into an article and who can add something, whatever. I mean, you can't create your own page. You can't also add anything. Anything that comes from you as a source about yourself is not reliable, like out of that. Mm-hmm. So like there's a lot of like scrutiny that goes into it, but it's not perfect. Like it just can't be.
No, it can't be. But when you have people that are working transparently and mm-hmm. genuinely interested in keeping this as accurate as it can be,
yeah,
they're always fixing things and improving things.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It is. I mean, damn near accurate. Like it's so close that like, if there are mistakes, they're usually minor or like it's something that you could spot. Like if you research a little bit, but it's also. I mean, it's like it's usually even the volunteers. It's not like that. I'm writing about I don't know knitting or something. Something that I'm not at all interested in. Like the people usually, like the people that edit those things are the people that are deeply into a certain topic.
Yes. Yeah. I mentioned the dig that was in mm-hmm. One of the statements on the page mm-hmm. about AI.
Mm-hmm.
What they're referencing is the rampant scraping of all Wikipedia content
yes.
by AI bots.
For all models, yeah.
Which has raised legality concerns,
mm-hmm.
huh. But has also put an insane strain on the Wikipedia servers.
Yeah, that's the bigger problem. I mean, the legality, I'm like, if we know they don't care. So, like, what's the point? It's not even worth discussing. But like the strain and the costs associated, that was the problem.
Yeah, yeah, that drove up the costs
mm-hmm.
Quite a bit.
Like, yeah.
I don't want to say astronomically, but it was significant.
Yeah, I mean, the cost was already pretty astronomical, and then they drove it up quite a bit. Like Wikipedia is not a cheap thing to run.
No, and it's a non-profit.
Mm-hmm.
And...
I think so.
I
yeah.
mean, there are paid employees.
Yeah, this is it. There is paid employees, like, but there's also a lot of volunteers from other companies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a second part to that, which is the Wikimedia Foundation, right? It's behind it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's also one of the biggest repositories of like images. It's not just knowledge; it's also a lot of images and other things, other documents like that.
Yes, I found the Wikimedia Foundation to be invaluable
mm-hmm.
in many situations.
Yes. Yeah, I've used like tons of like Creative Commons images and stuff like that for mm-hmm. for projects. So.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of really really useful information, mm-hmm. and as long as you comply with the
rules.
With the rules, the licensing
yeah.
for
yeah.
a specific. Image or, mm-hmm. or document,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're good to go.
Yeah, but a lot. I mean, as I said, it's pretty clear licensing. Most of it is basically free. I mean, it's like free with attribution. It's like okay, you have to. You can use it even commercially. You just have to get attribution for it. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. that's not a problem. I can do that.
Yeah, it's only the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely is. Yeah, but said it's yeah. It's like AI is also a little bit. I don't want to call it destroying it, but it's also like...
How about eroding?
Eroding it, yeah. Because people are, of course... I mean, to be fair, that was probably predates all our LLMs. Like, I mean, people were going to Google to find the answer instead of going to Wikipedia directly. And mm-hmm. finding... I mean, Wikipedia was probably pretty high up in the search results, but even then, it probably wasn't always. There were paid results and all of that. So they would find information on maybe not so reliable places. And with the LLMs, it's worse because they don't even, I mean, Perplexity gives you the links and you can click on it and go there. You have all the sources, but it still gives you the answer. You don't have to go there and read the article anymore.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. It's still, I think, worth having it as a knowledge repository.
I agree. And I hope Wikipedia is going to stick around for a long time. I'm not implying that they're about to collapse. That's not the case.
Yeah.
I just want to see Wikipedia just continue on for as long as I can imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I know some people have problems with Wikipedia, but I think they're wrong. As I said, it's never perfect, but it's like people think, oh, it's biased to the left and, you know, all of that. And I disagree.
I disagree as well. I feel it's anecdotally, meaning just from my experience, it is pretty neutral with its coverage.
Yeah. I mean, you know, facts should anyway be pretty neutral.
Right. But if a fact says something that don't like.
Yes. Exactly.
It can be a lot easier to say, oh, this is biased.
Yeah. As I said, I mean, I'm sure Wikipedia has some biases because, like, it's human beings creating it.
Yes.
Yeah. They try their best to balance it out and they try their best to not have it influence too much, but it's like. Just by the things that are maybe talked about or not talked about, like pages that are created or not created, even that might be a bias or whatever. A bit sad. But overall, I think they do a very valuable thing. And I think them together with archive.org are probably the best parts of the internet, to be honest.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I think those two together really embody what Tim Berners-Lee envisioned when he became the father of the internet.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, as I said, there's good parts, that bad parts, that's normal, but I think they're just the best part. There's a couple others, like W3C and whatever. Yeah.
So there you go. Look at that.
Happy birthday.
I brought a birthday story.
Yes. I wanted to make a joke and say, hey, Wikipedia's brain is finally somewhat fully developed. Can get a real job now.
Right. Yeah. And its car insurance rates go down this year.
Yeah, but also the slow decline of, you know, getting older now starts.
it's always a trade-off.
It's a trade-off.
All right. I bet you have another story handy.
I actually do. There's one that I found fascinating, completely different than what we talked about. But it's kind of something that I had a discussion with some people the other day on InSpace. We were talking about LiDAR and LiDAR in the ocean. And then this story pops up. Kottke put it on his website. It's a link to another article, actually. And it's scientists have actually found a wall. 7,000 year old wall in the ocean, in the Atlantic Ocean, about 30 feet beneath the surface, so not that deep, off the coast of France. So it's a stone wall, 400 feet long, built by hunter-gatherers more than 7,000 years ago. Why, nobody knows, but it's beneath the ocean surface now. I found it just fascinating. Like, it's probably there's apparently some legends about the sunken city in this area, and they're thinking that's probably where this comes from.
That would make sense. I've seen several documentaries that talk about like areas where there are artifacts that are now underwater,
mm-hmm.
simply because water levels have changed, yeah. coastlines have changed.
Yeah.
And
I mean, Arizona used to be beachfront property, parts of it.
That's true. Colorado yeah. used to be a sea.
Yeah, underwater.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, that's, people don't think about it, but yeah, over, I mean, long periods of time, shit changes.
Yeah, it's the first time I was on a hike in the mountains in Colorado, and I was up at about timberline, and we saw rocks that had fossils in them, and it was like little shells and stuff. And I'm like, well, this doesn't make sense. We're so high up. And one of the other people on the hike, who was a geologist, explained to me that, well, there was a point when this was actually underwater. And yeah, anyhow, yeah. it was just really fascinating yeah, exactly. to yeah. experience that.
Yeah, there's in Phoenix, there's actually a pretty nice natural history museum where they have fossils from the area. You wouldn't think that's so awesome. Because you're like, water here? Like, how is that even possible? It's like, yeah, just go back not far enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and it might be again. You never know.
Right. Yes, it absolutely could be again.
Yeah.
So what I would love to know is mm-hmm. if there is a archaeological expedition planned mm-hmm. for this location. And granted, you would have to do it with submersible craft.
Yeah, but not that far. I mean, it's only 30 feet. It's not that deep. It's actually not yeah, that yeah, deep.
You could have divers, scuba divers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, these days you would probably still use like other craft. It's just more convenient and like you have better equipment or whatever. But yeah, I'm mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they. I mean, they did that. Did I mention that they did that using LiDAR? Like, if you think LiDAR only works on self-driving cars, you're wrong. It actually works under like that was the surprising thing. It works in the ocean. You would think it's not working, but it does actually work in the ocean. It's not sonar, it's actually LiDAR.
That's super interesting. I know LiDAR's been used like in Central America
mm-hmm.
and South America
yeah.
to locate ancient cities
mm-hmm.
that yeah, are yeah, just yeah. like hidden in the forest.
Yeah.
And it's amazingly effective.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed that water would be a... an impediment.
Yeah. Apparently not. I mean, lasers are pretty strong, so maybe that's enough. I mean, for normal light, it would just like yeah.
Yeah, it would diffuse way too fast.
Yeah. But I mean, also, it's not that deep. Like, we're not going down thousands and thousands of feet. Like, this is 30 feet.
Right.
Yeah. So.
But that's super cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I said, it will be interesting. As I said, yeah, but like it just shows you the shit we think we... I mean, you would expect that we know everything now, right, about our planet. We've been around long enough. We've developed a lot of technology and, like, research and sciences and whatever. You would think that we know everything. And the reality is we know nothing. We don't even know our own freaking history. I mean, this is literally our own history.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We have so many buried treasures or mm-hmm. submerged treasures.
Yeah,
just that used to be coastal.
Yeah, stuff that got lost over time. I mean, maybe there was a super advanced alien city on the planet, and there were rings that teleported you to other planets. We just forgot about it. You never know.
That's totally possible. And if only we could unearth uh-huh. that technology.
Yeah.
Stand yeah. it up on end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like some ring of some sort you can go through.
Right. And then figure out how to use the symbols to craft the addresses to get yeah. the locations.
Yeah. Yeah. That would sound...
Wouldn't that just be... That would be useful.
That would be super useful if we could do that. Yeah, someone should think about that. Like, figure it out.
Yeah, we need to get people on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's my story. Like, not the biggest story, but I found it fascinating.
I think it's a super cool story. I love it. All right, do you think we have time for one more?
I think we have time for one more, yeah.
All right, well, then I'll bring another story.
Yeah.
And mine is about Bandcamp. the music
and platform. That one time in Bandcamp, no.
One time at Bandcamp, yeah. Good times. Yeah, musical instruments are just so versatile.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Anyhow, so Bandcamp has officially banned AI music from their platform.
Good.
And yeah, I am so happy that they have done this.
Yeah.
And they're making the stand that should embarrass Spotify and Apple and Amazon Prime.
Mostly Spotify and also Spotify.
Yeah, and also Spotify. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So their stance is that Bandcamp is all about artists being able to share their original works.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not about flooding our streams with AI slop music.
Mm-hmm.
Spotify, we're looking at you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, so that's it. They have taken the stand on that.
Yeah.
I was hoping Apple would have already done this.
Mm.
But I don't think they will.
No.
And of course, Spotify is absolutely not going to do this because they're creating their own AI music to fill your streams, so they don't have to pay artists. Yeah.
I mean, the definition here is the interesting part. Like, what do they say when they mean AI? Like, is it no AI can at all touch any part of the process? Or is it okay if it's fully generated? And I think it's a little bit of both, right? They're saying it's like music and audio that is generated wholly or in substantial parts by AI is not permitted. It's not that you can't use AI to help you in the process or, I don't know, clean up some audio or help you with lyrics to work out, like, what could I use, whatever, how to write it better. Like, it's not that you can't use AI at all. It's just... It can only be a small tool in your tool belt to be when you're a musician, basically. You shouldn't generate the music in large parts like automatically.
Yes.
And I think that is a pretty, I mean, I would say, let's say, limited view of what you, I mean, they could have been like, nope, no part, nothing gets touched by AI. They didn't say so. Like, they're being pretty, like, say minimalist here and saying, okay, it's just, like, so far at least, it's only the things that are substantially or wholly generated. Which, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
And it might also be the right place to stay focused.
Yes.
We have to watch and see how that plays out.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's also good for musicians. Or like they're pretty clear. They're saying like, hey, like we don't want to ban musicians from figuring out ways to use AI to their advantage. It's just you shouldn't just create AI slop, basically. That's what it is, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I said there should still be a musical professional behind it, a musician behind it that generates it, that creates it, and does most of the work at least. Even if they're using some AI for it.
Yeah, there's another line in this article. By the way, it's from Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah.
And so I'll read this to you. Deezer, a music streaming service based out of France, said in November that it estimates about 50,000 AI-generated songs are uploaded to the platform every
day. To Deezer, which is not the biggest platform on the planet.
Right.
Yeah. So that I mean, yes. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a normal... It's kind of expected, right? We have the tools and people are going to use it. And some companies are going to use it also for their platforms. Like, yeah, it's like it's not a surprise that this happens. The thing that I thought would happen is kind of what's happening, right? People are realizing the value of human creation and human touch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nothing against, I don't know, white noise generated by AI or something like that. But not something a human really needs to generate or anything like that. Some background sounds or whatever. I'm like, okay, fine. Like, don't need everything. Not everything needs to be human. But there is a lot of value in, okay, I know a human generated this or created this. Not generated, yes. Created this.
Yeah. When was it? December? November? Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Carrot, the weather app?
Yeah.
They did a thing where...
the musical, right?
Yeah, Carrot the Musical.
Yes.
Each song was AI generated.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And so I thought, this will be very interesting to see what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I listened to the first song.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, that was interesting. And then second song comes out. And by the time I was done listening to the second song, I was over it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it was obvious both the tracks were AI, and they're very upfront about what they did.
Yeah, they said it was never written for them. I mean, it kind of made sense because they have had an air quotes AI as their main character for a long time. So of course an AI would be the one doing a musical. But yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so it was very clever.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it was very clear to me that listening to AI music in mm-hmm. general, it doesn't work for me. It just, it feels too styrofoam.
Yeah, which is totally fine. As I said, I still think there is value in those kinds of experiments, right? To try it or to see it. But as I said, it should be additive and not like, what is that? So replacing things.
Yes.
Right. There's things where, like, I don't know. I don't think Carrot Weather would have ever created, like, with musicians as a musical. I don't think that would have ever happened.
No, of course not. They wouldn't have been able to do it. The resources that it would take, specifically money.
Yeah.
That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, and which is totally fine. But this way they were able to do that. And I think that is for that it's fine. And if it's clear, people can have their opinion and say, okay, this was, as you said, it was kind of, yeah, I've heard some people say, yeah, it was kind of interesting. And got some actually funny things right. And mm-hmm. other people, like you have said, yeah, kind of, yeah, it was okay, but like at the end, it was kind of not super interesting. Like, that's okay.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
And I fully expect at some point I'm going to hear a complete, from start to finish, AI song.
Oh, you already have, probably.
Yeah, where I'm like, oh, that was really good.
Yeah, and, you already have, and you probably
what I listened to.
You already have, and you probably didn't even notice.
Probably yes, I'm sure you're right.
Yeah.
So I'm not making any assumptions about my magical ability to automatically detect when something is AI.
No,
but at the same time, I don't want my music. I don't want my entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so I'm the same way. And as I said, I think we're learning that is something. That both can exist, and that's something that we can value. And that, I think that is a pretty good and positive thing. So if that trend continues, I'm actually very optimistic about our world, because we will have really cool AI things that wouldn't have existed before, and we will still have really good like human-created things, even maybe with support of AI here or there, but like human-created things that are also very good. So I'm like, that's the best we can have. And we will, as always, have some crap, because that's also part of even the human world. So
I agree. Humans are fully capable of generating slop, too.
Correct, a lot. And be successful with it and make a lot of money. Like, I can name so many examples from history where I'm like, how was that even at all? right? Successful.
Yeah. I'm looking at you, Milli Vanilli.
That was one that I was thinking of. There's also some musicians from Germany that I know of, like. Okay. I'm like, yeah. No, there's so many, like, some of the pop groups that were created in the 2000s of, like, some reality TV show. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, you know what's not crap, Patrice? That would be Awe Technologies.
Yeah. No AI? I don't know.
It's
not that I'm aware of, at least.
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah. But that's okay, because what they do is, what they're doing is making it possible for us to be here. Awe Technologies, as our sponsor, they're making sure we have the resources for live streaming, for a place for our website, and the online storage we need so that you can watch and listen to show recordings anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
And their help is critical for us being here. We wouldn't be able to do this without Awe Technologies support. So we're super happy they do that. So thank you for that. For those of you that are like, oh, geez, that sounds really cool. What does Awe Technologies do? They have all the monitoring equipment that you need, like, say, for your construction site or whatever your site monitoring needs would be for whatever it is, project, whatever. They handle that. So camera sensors, all that stuff. So if you need that, and if you're working for a company that needs it, you know you need it. You need to reach out to Awe Technologies and have them help you out, because they're awesome what they do. So their website is Awe Technologies, that's AWE technologies.co.uk. And thank you, Awe Technologies, for being here for us. Also, speaking of being here for us, Patrice, you have done so much to keep BTN running smoothly. And part of that was a couple years ago, you revamped our whole live stream and live chat system. And the live chat system is, like, super cool. Can you tell people about that, please?
Absolutely, I can do that. So we have a really cool live stream system. We are right now, as we're recording this, streaming this live on the internet to the places where the internet still works. And if you want to enjoy this, just head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com whenever we're streaming. Which you can follow us on social media, Mastodon, on Fediverse, whatever. But easiest is join us Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for this very show, the big show, and also Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. Whenever that is in your time zone, you will have to do the math. I know it's hard. Just ask your favorite LLM. I should be capable of doing that time zone math for you.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, I can't tell you how many R's are in strawberry.
That's true. But I think time zone math, it should be able to do. There's also apps for that, or just whatever. Heck, you will figure it out. Yeah, and then there's a live chat and a live stream, and you can talk to us, and you can, it's pretty cool. It's super easy. No registration, nothing. It generates funny names, like all of that. If you wanna, if you're like, you don't wanna listen to like a live thing, you're like, I don't have time for that, or I wanna listen to it on N2X, or skip over a certain parts, all of that, like, totally fine. We have a recording for that reason. That's what podcasts are for. You can still get to the links and to everything that was talked about in the chats all the way back to the show in, what was it, June 2015, I think, something like that. Like, we've every show, every chat, everything. I think one or two I still have to add. I actually just remembered I will use my LLM to put in the right format and upload it. But we have all the transcripts for the chats at britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then pick a date. And if you pick a date, like today's, for example, would be January 15th, 2026. Wow, I almost said 2025. January 15th, 2026. If you pick that date, you will see everything that we talked about today. So, like, the articles, the links to that, or the cool things that are coming up.
Right. And speaking of articles, this is definitely a day to check out, because when we're doing the big show, there's usually enough people that I end up skipping reading articles myself.
Yeah.
And yet I brought two today.
Yeah. We sometimes even add some bonus ones. Like, we might bring one and then add a bonus one, or like some other thing we mentioned that we want to link to. Like, it's not just the thing we talk about.
That's true. Patrice, thank you for covering all that. And you mentioned cool things. I believe it's time for cool things. And I would love to know what your cool thing is.
There's so many options I was thinking about. But I'm going to pick my vacuum, my new robot vacuum today. Because for about a year, I was looking at... I had a Roborock S5 Max, I think, a couple of years old, and it was okay. Like, it was cleaning somewhat. It was mostly just eating cables. It was mopping okay. It was an okay robot. It wasn't super expensive, so it was like, it's fine. But I kind of wanted an upgrade, and I was looking at some of the more advanced versions with like the stations where like they clean everything, and the mops work better, and just like better technology in general, but like AI, like actually AI in robots is a thing nowadays, some intelligence. So I was kind of looking at it, but they were expensive, and I was like, do I really want to spend like, I don't know, 1300 euros for a robot vacuum? I'm like, I'm kind of want to, but I'm all kind of not sure. So I waited for a year, and then Black Friday came around, and it was like down to 850, and I know that was a good price. Mm-hmm. The vacuum that I wanted, actually the one I had picked originally, was like, I think, 650, down from like about 1,000. But then I saw the 850, and I was like, oh, that's actually the one I really wanted, was this one, and it's 850. So I bought it. And I have to say, I'm every day, I mean, it took a couple of days to ship, so it's been 2 months almost, a month and a half-ish, something like that. And I'm still every day very happy with it. So it's the Roborock Saros 10R. It's not the absolute top of the line. There's one with an arm or something, but I was like, yeah, that's, no, I don't need that. But it has everything I need. Like, it has two mop things, like little mop plates that are detachable, and it actually detaches and attaches them automatically, so you don't have to do anything.
Nice.
And they swivel out, so like it does, it's not perfect with corners, but it does better with corners than older versions, because it can swivel them out and in and like basically go around things and whatever. It doesn't have LiDAR. They dropped LiDAR for the lower height, but it has other advanced sensors now built in. So it doesn't need the LiDAR anymore, which means it's a little bit lower, which meant it could go under things it couldn't go before, which was actually quite interesting. Nice. Because I hadn't expected that. So it cleans under things that it didn't clean before. It has like a big like station where like there's fresh water and dirty water and like a bag for the dust and whatever, and like a one thing for the cleaning agent. And it just runs automatically. It's like it detects everything. It will see cables. It will see, oh, there's like there's stairs here. I mean, I don't have stairs, but it will apparently do that. But it detected everything. It's like, oh, this is, it will even recognize, it's like, oh, this is where I get tangled often, so maybe I'll avoid this area next time. And you can go in and change that and say, okay, no, just get tangled, or I cleaned it up and you can ignore that now, or whatever. But it actually detects if there was like in my office, there was one area where I got stuck on a cable all the time, and then it put a box around it. It was like, yeah, unless you tell me otherwise, I'm not going there anymore, because I always get stuck here. So this stuff like that, and I said, it's the thing is, it does actually a really good job cleaning everything. It's really, really good. It is way more silent than before. It is way smarter also. I mean, the old one was basically, it just bumps into it, everything. It would just bump into, oh, there's something, and then turn around and just go another direction. This one actually maps out and it's like, okay, how do I clean this most efficiently? And we're like, oh, there's a carpet here. So I'll clean the carpet first and then I'll go back to the station and get the mop and then I'll mop around it, basically. Stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah, it's actually pretty smart, and the smarts are getting updated and are still in beta. It has a good, it always, Roborock has always had a good app, so I'm quite happy. It's now Matter compatible, so it connects all my Matter stuff. Nice. So as I said, I'm very happy with it so far. The only thing I have to remember, I mean, it will tell you, but it's always like, ah, oh, shit, I should have checked, is the fresh water tank and the dirty water tank. I should probably check more often, but I'll learn it over time. So far it yells at me. It's like, oh, the fresh water tank is empty. I'm like, oh yeah, shit, I should have refilled it. The dirty water tank is empty. I'm like, oh. I'm like, oh shit, yeah, I should have done that. Yeah, because it's always, it's doing it while it's cleaning. I'm like, oh, and then I'm rushing. I'm like, oh, I could quickly fill it up again so it can continue cleaning. Yeah. It is actually pretty nice. And the brushes are also like the main brush that it still has. I mean, the suction is like, I think, 4 or 5 times more than the old one was. So it actually does a better job. But it's also probably half as loud. So, and the brushes are non-tangle brushes now. So it, like, even if there's a cable or whatever, it will not just, you know. But the usual thing that would happen, it would just like wrap around the brush because it was just like a round brush. They changed that. It's like now a special brush that's divided or whatever, that nothing gets stuck in there. It's still, I mean, the only thing that does happen sometimes, if you have a cable somewhere, the mop things might just get detached, at which point it just stops and tells you. It's like, hey, okay. I just lost my mop thingy, can you check? And then you just go in, reset, take away the cable or whatever, and it continues.
Okay, awesome. It's the timing on you bringing this as a cool thing is amazing for me.
Oh, okay.
So I've been using a D-Bot R95 for a really long time. Like, it's a discontinued model. I don't even think it's supported anymore.
Yeah.
But it has LiDAR and it does all the mapping. And, you know, and I set up zones.
Yeah.
And it can mop, and it does all this stuff. And it's been so good that I just couldn't come up with a valid reason to replace it, even though it predates Matter and HomeKit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's very recent, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But this thing has just been a workhorse. And last week, it started corrupting its own map.
And I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
And then it couldn't restore its map. So I'm like, okay, I want you to remap everything. At which point the app said, I can't locate the robot. I know it's there, but I can't figure out where it is. And that
it
was
got
the end
lost.
It. I mean, it is just perpetually lost.
Number 5 is lost.
Number 5 is lost. And so, you know, I was thinking, well, geez, maybe if I put a new battery in it, that'll fix it. Which
good
might,
idea. Might.
But at the same time, can I even find a battery for this?
Yeah, that's usually. Yeah.
And then, even if I find a battery, is it worth putting in here? I mean, considering how old this is, and I can hear the bearings for the LiDAR. So I know that's on borrowed time anyhow. Maybe it's time for me to like seriously look at I have to replace it. So I guess it is time for me to seriously look at it.
Highly look at Roborock. They have a lot of, I mean, this was one, as I said, it's like not the top, but like the second from top. But there's other devices that are not as fancy but do a really good job. Like their stuff, I mean, that I've had the other Roborock for 5 years, and like it's always good. I the only thing I had to replace, I mean, they sell like replacements, like boxes full of stuff that you like, brushes or whatever, and for like nothing, like it's cheap. Like I gave my Roborock to someone else, and I gave them like an entire box with like mop cloths and like brushes and all kinds of replacement parts, and like
That's another problem. I noticed a couple of years ago that it's much more difficult to find replacement brushes and stuff
I
for
mean that
home
happens over
builders.
time. Yeah, was it
Oh
but
yeah.
Roborock is one of, I mean, iRobot, like that was the problem. Like there's other companies that are way better than iRobot these days. Which
Yeah,
is why they
not
went
Roomba
bam.
anymore.
Yeah, because that's why they went
Because they're
bankrupt.
gone.
Yeah,
Yep.
but Roborock is high, I can highly recommend. I mean, they're all Chinese these days anyway, so like that's something you have to deal with. But Roborock is, yeah, good company. I don't remember which company is behind it. Isn't it Huawei or Xiaomi or something like that? I always forget.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those, I think.
Okay. Well, that's cool. All right. My cool thing, because there's only the two of us here, it makes it super easy for me to pick this.
Okay.
Brand new Star Trek show dropped today, Starfleet Academy, so that they released the first two episodes today,
Yes. Have you
and
watched both or one or?
just the first one.
Okay, same. I have not had time to watch the second one yet. Okay.
Yeah,
No, no spoilers, but like thoughts.
I think it's a really well done show. I think Holly Hunter is great,
Yeah.
and I can tell this show is going to be off-putting to some Star Trek fans,
Every show
because
is.
every show is.
Yes.
But the core cast, when you get outside of Holly Hunter, oh, and Paul Giamatti is just the perfect bad guy. The core cast, it's like teenagers, because it's or young
Starf.
adults,
Yeah, young
because they're in
adults.
Starfleet Academy.
They're like 20 something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
20.
like one of the characters just turned 21 or
Yeah,
something.
something like that, exactly.
And another character is 17.
There's definitely, but it's at around that age. Like I said, like college age kind of makes sense, like ish.
Yeah. And so I can see where this will be off-putting to some people,
Yes,
but
not a surprise.
I'm liking the characters.
Yeah.
And I thought they did well with a pilot episode.
I have a slightly different opinion on that. I'm reserving judgment until I've seen more of the show, especially. I mean, I know first seasons of any show, especially Star Trek shows, are usually crapshoot.
Yes.
And I have massive problems with the writing.
Okay, I'm with you on that. I enjoyed it. Oh, continue. I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
I did enjoy some of it, and it was definitely fun. The sets are beautiful. Holly Hunter
Yes.
is Paul Giamatti. I'm all with you. I just have like there's a lot of, especially the female characters, are very stereotypical. And I have a
I'm
massive
hoping that
problem with that.
changes.
And I had a similar problem. I did not like the beginning of Discovery, and now it's my favorite show. So it is absolutely 100% possible that it changes mine. I'm excited for a new Star Trek always. I'm not a person that says, "Oh, but it's not old Star Trek." No, I want new. I just
I'm with you.
have a feeling they haven't figured out how to write interesting female characters. So far, they're all stereotypes.
Well,
The yeah,
I'm with you on that.
the
I
only
hope they change
interesting
things.
the only interesting character so far, other than like Holly Hunter, is actually I think the Klingon. Because it's very different Klingon,
It's a very different Klingon.
which I love.
Okay, so without spoilers, and I'm with you on the writing, but I see the potential here, which is
Me
why I'm
too.
excited
There are
about this.
definitely a lot of potentials, but as I said, so far, I mean, we'll see where it goes. But so far, I have a feeling they don't know how to write female characters.
Oh, I hope they fix that.
Yeah, which is unfortunately a common problem. So.
Something we've discussed many times on Retro Rewatch. Okay, so
But it's
one of the
also
big problems.
25 years later, so you would have think they would have figured it out a bit.
Fair. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we need to hold their pens to the fire, as opposed to their feet, because they're writers. Anyhow, I had a big problem with part of the main premise of mm-hmm. the storyline in this episode. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm not going to offer spoilers.
No.
But the way the main conflict gets resolved in this episode.
The whole main conflict itself is kind of that way.
It doesn't work. But I also get that you have to use the main characters to deal with whatever the conflict is. Otherwise, you need to have different main characters.
Yes.
And
true. I get it. That was for me the biggest off-putting thing. Like the whole conflict, what the conflict is, was kind of off-putting. I'm like, oh, of course it has to be that.
Yeah, of course it has to be that. And of course, this is how it has to get resolved.
Yes.
Meaning you have to use these characters in this way to do that. And it was a stretch.
Yeah. Yeah. But as I said, I'm also reserving, is that it's the very, very first episode of a very new show. I'm reserving judgment at least until the end of the season, probably until the second season, because I'm like, I know how this goes. Been there, done that.
Yep.
Like, as I said, just go back to any Star Trek show before it. It's like all of them are crapshoot. Like, Discovery, first season, it's like complete crap. Like, some good things, but mostly crap.
I am so with you on season one of Discovery.
Yeah.
There was a lot that I enjoyed in it, but there was a lot that was a big problem.
Yeah, exactly. And they figured it out. So, just takes time.
Yeah, they did.
It's okay.
And I think that will happen here.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
And I know when I first started talking about this, I'm like, oh, I really enjoyed it, and here I'm bagging on it. Both can exist
absolutely
for me.
Yeah, I did enjoy watching it. It's just like I'm more critical these days, but I'm also because of our shows or whatever. But I'm like, there are some. We had some discussions in the Mission Log Discord before that, and I know like. There's one trailer with the Doctor. I mean, it's not a spoiler. The Doctor is in it, and there were a lot of interesting discussions around that trailer especially. And I have to agree with most of them.
And we won't discuss that because that would be spoilers.
Yes. Yeah. No spoilers. So it's still enjoyable. Go watch it. Make your own opinions. It's definitely a cool thing. I'm 100% with you.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a lot of fun, and it had some real problems.
Yeah,
but holy crap, Paul Giamatti.
Yes, that was cool.
I am so glad that when they got him on board, he was completely on board because he owns his character and he plays it so well. Yeah. Molly Hunter's just fantastic.
Yeah. She, of course, is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we haven't seen some of the others, other returning characters we know will be there. So,
right. Yeah. Yep. So anyhow, Starfleet Academy, Paramount Plus, the first two episodes are, if they're not yet, they will be later today available on YouTube.
They are already. I saw some people commented, except for in Japan, where apparently they have to wait a week. I'm like, what the hell? But no, I've heard people talk about it. It's available on YouTube. Yeah. So, good show. Odette Fair, I think is the name, as Admiral Vance also has has a little thing, and I also love him. Like, he's a really cool character.
And a great actor, and he's played some really interesting characters over the years. And if you haven't seen him in anything else. If you go and look at him in other things, you're going to be like, that's the same guy.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's absolutely like that. No, I love his characters. Like, I've seen him in some other shows and very different. Like he played in, I think, in NCIS, I think he's in, I think, The Blacklist. He plays like bad guy and like some good characters. Very different.
He has some interesting characters out there. Yeah. So there you go, Starfleet Academy and the Robot Vacuum.
Yes, works hand in hand. Oh, by the way, speaking of robots, of course, I mean, since it's the 32nd century, finally we get a lot of robots.
Finally. I mean, it makes sense that we would be seeing the robots around doing their robot things.
Yeah.
And we got a taste of that in Discovery.
Yes.
And a taste of that in Strange New Worlds.
Mm-hmm. A little bit, yeah.
Really, a little bit.
Yeah.
But I feel like now we're actually really getting to see.
Yeah. The and that's not a spoiler. Solution. That was in all trailers. And I mean, in Discovery, we had it and so on. So it's not like, it's not a surprise. But I was happy to see that. I'm like, hey, cool. It's that the sets are amazing so far. So.
Yeah. I agree. All right. So I think it's time for us to wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
Therese, where can people find you?
Well, every week on this very show and also the Mac show. So tomorrow, the Mac show tomorrow, we'll do our yearly predictions because we did not do a Mac show last week. So we still have to do that.
Oh, so I get to be in on predictions this
year. Yeah, you might be on predictions and we'll see if I think Ian was, Ewan was in last year. See if he's there tomorrow, but we'll see if he thinks he won this thing. We'll see.
He's very confident.
He is very confident, but he also probably doesn't remember at all what he predicted. So we'll see. We'll judge it tomorrow together. So it could be. I'm not saying no. Just haven't looked at it. So that everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, will take you there. And since we already talked about it, Retro Rewatch, Jeff and I do a rewatch of retro TV shows. And we just published last week, it's almost a week ago, our 70th episode? 70th. Episode 70. Yeah, episode 70 of Retro Rewatch. We watched retro TV shows. That was the Indiana Jones episode. So Jeff and Patrice and Indiana Jones and some Stargate people. And that is the... So we're basically the next episode that's due today, tomorrow will be the season finale and cliffhanger episode Nemesis. A big surprise.
Up to the end of the season.
A big surprise.
Yes.
Really big surprise. I remember when we talked about it. So yeah, that will be out tomorrow.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to see what we thought of that episode.
Mm-hmm.
And how it compares to the last season's cliffhanger.
Yeah. It's like I have the document here, and like I see it, I know it, but people will have to watch it and listen to it and see it.
Yes. All right. So then, for me, Jay Gamut on the various social medias, most active right now on Mastodon and PixelFed and Blue Sky.
Mm-hmm.
And then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. By the way, Dave recorded an extra episode of In Touch with iOS yesterday as we record, where it's him and me and Katie from Ecamm.
Hmm.
And
yay.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We talk about streaming movies and like going back to pre-streaming, like video and DVD and Netflix coming in the mail and so we talk about all that.
I remember, yeah, okay.
And it was a really fun discussion. So there was that. Let's see what else. Oh, here for the big show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays, Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. And there we go. So that's like all the shows and stuff. So everything tastes better in Retro Rewatch, just saying.
It does.
Okay. It is now really time to wrap up. So thank you to Patrice, first, thanks to you, because it's just so much fun to hang out with you.
It is.
And while I enjoy when there's a whole bunch of us here for the show, it's a lot of fun when it's just the two of us. So thank you.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. we're making castles in the sand.
Yes.
hey, everyone that watches and listens live, participates in the live chat, thank you for being here and being part of this. All of you that watch and listen to the show recordings later, I'm so glad you're part of this as well. Hey, Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure there are people for shows. And Odd Technologies, thank you for being our sponsor. And with that, I do feel comfortable saying, hey, everyone, don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the Mac show, for our predictions episode. And then tune again next Thursday for the big show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.